Well, hey, everybody. It's the third episode of the LifeSpring Family Bible for the year 2010, and I want to apologize for being late with this episode. You see, I'm in the process of recording the Bible yet again. I've been commissioned to do so for a private concern. And you can, by the way, listen to excerpts from that over at dr.lifespringmedia.com. It's the Douay Rheims Bible, which is a Catholic version of the Bible. And in my voiceover capacity, someone has hired me to record that for them. So anyway, I was recording that last night. I finished a very big book of the Bible. And the software that I use takes a long time to render out the file once you're done. And it was about a three-hour file, and it renders it out in real time. So my computer was absolutely tied up all last night. Well, you know, from the time that I was able to actually get to possibly doing this show, the computer was doing its thing. And since it's a job that I'm employed doing, I had to sort of kind of do that. So anyway, please accept my apologies for being late. I have built in the schedule over the course of the year some leeway so that if we, you know, do miss one or two, we'll still be able to finish on time. So fret not about that. But I know you're just now starting to get into the habit, and that was a bad thing to be late. So please accept my apologies. So with that out of the way, let's go ahead and get into John chapters 5 and 6 today. After this, there was a Jewish festival, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Near the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem, there's a pool that the Jews called Bethesda. It has five porches. In them, there used to lie a crowd of people who were sick, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man who was there had been sick 38 years. Jesus saw him lying there and found out he had been sick such a long time. "Would you like to get well?" he asked him. "Lord," the sick man answered him, "I don't have anybody to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, and while I'm trying to get there, somebody else steps in ahead of me." "Get up," Jesus told him, "pick up your bed and walk." Immediately the man got well, picked up his bed, and walked. That day was the Sabbath. "Today is the day of rest," the Jews told the man who had been healed. "It's wrong for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "The one who made me well told me, 'Pick up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man that told you, 'Pick it up and walk'?" But the man who had been healed didn't know who he was, because Jesus had disappeared in the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "Look, you're well now. Don't sin anymore, or something worse may happen to you." The man went back and told the Jews it was Jesus who made him well. Because Jesus was doing such things on a Sabbath, the Jews started to persecute him. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and so I am working." Then the Jews were all the more eager to kill him, because he wasn't only abolishing the Sabbath, but even calling God his own Father, making himself equal to God. "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered them, "the Son can do nothing by himself, but only what he sees the Father doing. You see, the Son does exactly what the Father does. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. And he will show him even greater works than these, so that you'll be surprised. As the Father wakes up the dead and makes them live, so the Son makes alive whom he wants to make alive. The Father doesn't judge anyone, but has entrusted the judgment entirely to the Son, so that all should honor the Son as they honor the Father. Anyone who doesn't honor the Son doesn't honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, if you listen to what I say and believe him who sent me, you have everlasting life, and you will not be judged, but you have come from death to life. Let me assure you, the hour is coming, and is here now, when the dead will hear God's Son calling them, and those who hear him will live. As the Father has life in himself, so he has given the Son the power of having life in himself. He has also given him power to judge, because he is the Son of Man. This should not surprise you, because the hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear him calling and will come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. I can do nothing by myself. I judge only as I'm told to do, and so my judgment is just because I'm not trying to do what I want, but what he wants who sent me. If I alone testify about myself, my testimony isn't dependable. There's someone else testifying about me, and I know what he testifies about me is true. You sent to John, and he testified to the truth. Not that I get my testimony from a man, but I say this to save you. John was a lighted lamp that shone, and for a while you wanted to enjoy his light. But I have a greater testimony than John had. The works the Father gave me to finish, these works that I do testify the Father sent me. The Father who sent me, he testified about me. You never heard his voice or saw his form. You don't keep his word within you because you don't believe him who he sent. You search the scriptures because you think you have everlasting life in them, and yet they testify about me. But you don't want to come to me to have life. I don't get glory from men, but I know in your hearts you don't love God. I have come in my Father's name, and you don't accept me. If someone else comes in his own name, you'll accept him. How can you believe while you accept honor from one another, but are not eager to have the honor that comes from the only God? Don't think that I will accuse you before the Father. There is already one who accuses you, Moses, whom you trust. If you really believe Moses, you would believe me because he wrote about me. But if you don't believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say? Chapter 6. Sometime later, Jesus crossed over to the other side of the Lake of Galilee, which is the Lake of Tiberias. A large crowd was following him because they saw the miracles he did on the sick. Jesus went up the hill and sat down there with his disciples. The Jewish festival of the Passover was near. As Jesus looked up, he saw a large crowd coming to him. He turned to Philip and said, "Where should we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, since he knew what he was going to do. 200 denarii, Philip answered, wouldn't buy enough bread for each of them to get just a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, told him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what is that among so many?" "Have the people sit down," Jesus said. There was much grass at this place, so they sat down. There was about 5,000 men. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to the people who were sitting down, and in the same way as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had enough, he told his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left so that nothing will be wasted." They gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. Seeing the miracle he did, the people said, "This certainly is the prophet who is coming into the world." When Jesus learned that the people meant to come and take him by force and make him king, he went back again to the hill by himself. Meanwhile, as it got late, his disciples went down to the lake, stepped into a boat, and were on their way across the lake to Capernaum. By this time it was dark, and Jesus hadn't come to them yet. A strong wind started to blow and stir up the lake. After they had rowed 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the lake and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. "It is I," he told them. "Don't be afraid." They wanted to take him into the boat, and in a moment the boat came to the shore where they were going. The next day the people were still lingering on the other side of the lake. They had noticed only one boat was there, and Jesus had not stepped into that boat with his disciples, but they had gone away without him. Other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord gave thanks. When the people saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they stepped into these boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked him, "Master, when did you get here?" "Surely I tell you," Jesus answered them, "you're not looking for me because you've seen miracles, but because you've eaten some of the bread and have been well fed. Don't work for the food that spoils, but for the food that keeps for everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has sealed in him the power to give it." "What other works God wants us to do?" they asked him. "What God wants you to do," Jesus answered them, "is to believe in him whom he sent." "What miracle can you do?" they asked him. "Let us see it, and we'll believe you." "What can you do?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven. God's bread is coming down from heaven and giving life to the world." "Lord," they said to him, "always give us this bread." "I am the bread of life," Jesus told them. "Come to me, and you will never be hungry. Believe in me, and you will never be thirsty. But I have told you, you have seen me, and you don't believe. Everything the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never turn away, because I came down from heaven not to do what I want, but what he wants who sent me. And he who sent me doesn't want me to lose any of those he gave me, but to raise them on the last day. Yes, my Father wants everyone who sees the Son and believes in him to have everlasting life, and he wants me to raise him on the last day." Then the Jews grumbled because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." "Isn't this Jesus, Joseph's son?" they asked, "whose father and mother we know. Then how can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Don't grumble among yourselves," Jesus answered them. "A person can come to me only if the Father who sent me draws him. Then I will raise him on the last day. The prophets wrote, 'God will teach everyone.' Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, only he who comes from God has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, if you believe, you have everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the desert, and they died. But this is the bread coming down from heaven so that anyone may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread I'll give to bring life to the world is my flesh." Then the Jews argued with one another, "How can he give us his flesh to eat?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered them, "unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you don't have any life in you. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have everlasting life, and I will raise you on the last day. My flesh is a real food, and my blood is a real drink. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you stay in me and I in you. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so if you eat me, you will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It isn't like the bread the fathers ate. They died. Eat this bread, and you will live forever." He said this while he was teaching in a synagogue in Capernaum. When they heard it, many of his disciples said, "This is hard to take. Who can listen to him?" Inwardly aware that his disciples were complaining about this, Jesus asked them, "Does this upset you? What if you see the Son of Man go up where he was before? The spirit makes alive, the flesh doesn't help. The words I spoke to you are spirit, and they are life. But some of you don't believe." Jesus knew from the beginning who wouldn't believe and who would betray him. So he added, "That is why I told you a person can come to me only if the Father gives him the power." As a result, many of his disciples went back to their old life and wouldn't go with him anymore. Then Jesus asked the 12, "Do you want to leave me too?" "Lord, to whom should we go?" Simon Peter asked him. "You have words of everlasting life, and we have come to believe and know you are God's Holy One." "Didn't I choose the 12 of you?" Jesus asked. "And one of you is a devil?" He meant Judas, the son of Simon, the man from Kirioth. He was going to betray him, one of the 12. And so that's chapters 5 and 6 of the LifeSpring Family Bible. Today I read from the Beck Translation, the New Testament in the Language of Today, an American translation. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow on the LifeSpring Family Bible. I'm Steve Webb. God bless you and have a wonderful day. This has been an In Touch Productions podcast.